Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawalah. Amma ba'd, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah, fantastic. So, inshallah, this will be the final concluding halaqa, inshallah, on this surah, Surah Al-Insan, ayat 29, 30, and 31, bi'idhnillah. So taking a look at ayah number 29, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ عُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ هَذِهِ تَذْكِرَهُ فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. Indeed, this is a reminder. So he who wills may take to his Lord a way. So, good. So in this particular ayah, we see that this is a concluding remark. And essentially it's summarizing as if to say, all this discussion has one objective, to bring you to Allah's path, right? So every ayah before this, all you could say 28 ayat before this, this entire surah had so many lessons. I'm not going to obviously summarize everything, but basically all of this, now let's conclude by saying this was all a powerful reminder to bring you to Allah's path. Some speech is so complete and so convincing that there's nothing to do after it except choose a course of action. In other words, I've laid everything out, now you know your options, so now there's no more discussion necessary, just take a path. What are you gonna do? Those who want are gonna take the path to their Lord. And that's what Allah Ta'ala is saying here. So if we break it down in pieces, you have inna, which is lit-tawqid or lit-ta'qid, which is an emphasis, right? Stressing. Why? Because this is primarily to a disbelieving audience and saying that, listen, you have doubt, but indeed there isn't a doubt here that this is a what? Hadhihi tadhkira. So now there's a few things. Tadhkira means a powerful reminder, right? There's dhikr, a reminder. There's dhikra, which is a strong reminder. And then a very strong and powerful reminder is tadhkira. And it's feminine here, hadhihi tadhkira. So what is it? What is the feminine referring to? It could be referring to this whole surah, because surah is feminine, right? The word surah, tamarbuta, right? So hadhihi, this surah is a tadhkira. Or it could be that these ayat, it could be this entire surah, or all of the ayat, the entire Quran, all the surah of the Quran, all of this is a powerful tadhkira. It could be this sharia, this whole deen, is a powerful reminder. It could be the lessons of this surah, the maw'idah, the ibrah, whatever term you want to use. Or it could be the exact last lesson that was mentioned right before this, the previous ayah. What was the previous? The sentence right before this was what? وَإِذَا شِئْنَا بَدَّلْنَا أَمْثَالَهُمْ تَبْدِيلًا. So it could be that Allah is saying that that is the powerful reminder. The fact that you can be replaced. That was the exact previous words. Saying that you, if we will replace you with people that are nothing like you. And just that statement in and of itself, hadhihi tadhkira. This is a powerful, powerful reminder. Why? Because we have to remember that we can be replaced. We see people taking shahada all the time. We see new people coming to Islam. We see, mashallah, new masajid being built. We see new people having their celebration of their finishing their Hifz al-Quran. We see people making hajj all the time. We see new people, new faces in the masjid. People are, whether they're coming to Islam or whether they were previously Muslim, but just, you know, weak or nominally Muslim, and then their iman wakes up. Happens all the time. And some people are the opposite. They were practicing for a while and then boom, they disappear. So Allah is saying, look, I can replace you. And just that is a powerful reminder, let alone everything else mentioned in the surah. And one brother, mashallah, he's not here today, but last week, one brother made a very beautiful point that I said I want to mention this week, which is what? In regards to this concept of healing, or in regards to this concept of replacement, when there's something broken, you have to fix it, you have to replace it. Subhanallah, this, our deen, I'm sure there are many aspects of our deen that highlight this reality. And just to give a few examples, what happens if somebody's praying and they're in the sufuf, they're in one of the rows, and then they realize, I don't have wudu. What happens? They get up, they leave to go make wudu. And what happens? Somebody comes in, replaces them, right? So even in fiqh, even in the salah, what happens if the imam, he's praying and he realizes, I didn't make wudu, and he leaves. What does he do? He grabs somebody, pulls him in front, and there's this healing, there's this replacement. So subhanAllah, even in salah, we know that the famous hadith of the tajdeed, the famous hadith of there's going to be every 100 years a mujaddid, a reviver of the deen, saying, the Prophet says that, you know, this Islam, it may have some ups and downs, but you know, when things are looking bad, there's going to be a revival. Things are going to come back. So subhanAllah, I just came up with a few examples here, but I'm sure there are many, many more examples of what? Healing and replacement. So this is a theme in our fiqh, this is a theme in our deen, and so we should keep that in mind, and remember that we are no different. Have the humility to realize that, look, there are people that will get serious and take a role in this masjid and in our community and in this ummah, And if you don't want to be that person, no problem, somebody else will. Who knows? They might even look like you. SubhanAllah. I've been told many times, you know, I know a guy that looks just like you. You know, I'm sure you guys have all heard this too, as well, right? There's always people telling you, I know someone that looks like you. You wonder to yourself, first of all, I wish I could meet all these guys. You know, who are these people running around looking like me? But number two is, SubhanAllah, maybe they could replace me. Maybe I'm not that special, you know? So it's just a very interesting thought. And then the fact that Allah calls it a tadhkira, meaning a reminder, shouldn't it be a teaching, something that I'm learning new? No, a reminder is something you already knew, right? And what is this reminiscent of? Since this is the end of the surah, we look back to the beginning of the surah that mentioned our fitrah. Allah said what? إِنَّ هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. That Allah gave us this natural fitrah that guides us and lets us understand right from wrong. That's in ayah number 3. So that's the third ayah of the surah. This is the third last ayah of the surah. So there's that parallel. You know, the third ayah and the third to last ayah is saying what? That this is a reminder. And you're like, how is it a reminder if I never knew this before? You did know this before. Why? Because at the beginning of this surah, Allah said, you have a fitrah. That means whatever this deen is teaching you, it's not new information, it's a reminder. It's something that was already built within you. SubhanAllah, very beautiful the way there's that parallel. And furthermore, the previous ayah, since this is ayah number 29, the previous ayah is 28, Allah mentions, نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاهُمْ وَشَدَدَنَا أَسْرَهُمْ. That we created you and we basically assembled you in a tight, compact, efficient way. Rough translation. So the comparison, then saying, إِنَّ هَذِهِ تَذْكِرَةٌ. This is the powerful reminder. Now you have two things being compared, the human body and the Qur'an. And what is Allah Ta'ala mentioning? Allah Ta'ala is mentioning the intricate design of both. You look at your body and you see how incredibly intricately it's been designed, and you could study medicine your entire life and you'll never be done. And you can spend lifetimes studying, and there's always more to discover. That's how intricate your body is. And you could spend lifetimes and lifetimes studying Qur'an and realizing the intricacies and how beautiful this Qur'an has been put together. And Allah Ta'ala is drawing your attention to both. That you two belong together. You are my beautiful design, and this Qur'an is my beautiful design, and these two things are being put together in ayats 28 and 29. And this is what we should appreciate about the Qur'an, the way it sounds, its subject matter, its flow, its meaning, its argumentation, and so on and so forth. إِنَّ هَذِهِ تَذْكِرَةٌ فَمَنْ شَاءَ. So whoever wills, اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. He can take to his Lord a path. He can take a path to his Lord. So this word, فَمَنْ شَاءَ, whoever wants, it's open-ended. Meaning what? That this تَذْكِرَةٌ, this Qur'an, isn't just for the scholars. This is something that's very dangerous. When we develop this idea that this Qur'an is for the scholarly class, but me, I'm exempt because I'm, you know, مِنْ عَوَامِ النَّاسِ. I'm from the regular people. This is a very bad attitude. The fact is Allah is saying anybody should take this, anybody who wants to take a path to Allah, and we should all want to take a path to Allah, and we should all therefore get on this path of this tadhkira, this reminder, this Qur'an, inshaAllah ta'ala, take it very seriously by reading it in your own language, and then hopefully in Arabic. You have to study the Arabic, then you want to memorize it, then you want to talk about it, you want to apply it, you want to contemplate about it, you want to convey it to those who don't know it. This is how we take the Qur'an seriously. And then another question that actually somebody who was not yet accepting Islam, but close to accepting Islam. Maybe they've accepted Islam. They're right on the edge. But anyway, this person was asking me, does everybody have access to this path? Like, can anybody just embrace Islam and, you know, have their sins erased? And I was like, well, yeah. And they're like, well, what if they've done something really, really ugly in their past? And it seemed like this person had suffered from, you know, some sort of abuse in their childhood or whatever the case was. May Allah Ta'ala, you know, help them. So the question was, is it really fair that anybody has access to this beautiful path to Allah, to their Lord? Is it fair that God would forgive someone who caused irreparable damage to somebody else? And we say in the end, the answer is yes. Why? Because number one, Allah Ta'ala can do whatever He wills. He isn't subject to our concept of rights, right and wrong, because He's the author of right and wrong. So just from a purely humility perspective, Allah Ta'ala is the one who decides these things to begin with. Number two, Allah Ta'ala can compensate the victim on behalf of the repentant criminal. So if the criminal genuinely made tawbah and then wants to forgive that person, then Allah Ta'ala can give, you know, whatever sort of recompense, any sort of reward, incredible as it may be in the afterlife, for the one who suffered, for the victim. And then thirdly, just as people in two locations are different people, similarly, the same guy, but in two different time periods, may be an entirely different person. So how can he be punished when he's not even the same person anymore? So you get my point? Like, I'm over here, you're over there, we're two different people, there's that distinction. Well, what about me 20 years ago? Like, well, I guess I'm the same person in some ways, but I'm definitely not the same person in other ways, right? So there's we differentiate between people in terms of location, but we should also differentiate in terms of time. What's that famous expression that no man can step in a river twice because the second time he steps in, it's not the same river and it's not the same man. Have you guys ever heard that expression? It's really cute. But anyway, it's deep, you know? Obviously, a river is flowing, right? So when you step in the river the second time, it's not the same river, but it's not even the same guy. Right? You've changed since that time. Whatever, it's clever. Point being is that after true and sincere tawbah, that person is a reformed individual. And only Allah knows the hearts, and therefore punishing that person doesn't seem to make sense because they aren't the same person. Now, so فَمَنْ شَاءَ whoever, it's open-ended for everybody. اتَّخَذَ Why didn't Allah say أَخَذَ? أَخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا Because أَخَذَ means to take a path. اتَّخَذَ, in English you would say take as well. You take a path. But the difference is, ittakhadha has that extra emphasis. In other words, you're going to take a path that is going to require emphasis. There's going to be this juhud. It's going to be serious. It's going to be not just something light, like, Sunday morning newspaper reading, like, you know, lazily bored. No, we're talking about you have to take this path. You have to dedicate yourself. Ittakhadha ila rabbihi sabila. So what is this path to Allah? Well, of course, the clearest thing is to take this tazkirah, this Qur'an, very seriously. So number one is take the Qur'an seriously, but also the path of repentance, make tawbah, the path of avoiding the poisons of the heart that rust it over. This is also part of this path, is the path of cleansing one's heart and avoiding all the poisons that come in through the eyes and ears. Making your way to the masjid for salah, this is taking the path to Allah. Studying your deen, studying fiqh, helping those in need. This path shouldn't be limited to something small, this is about your entire life. And how can you get this path? By asking. Asking Allah, asking those who know. Why? This is reminiscent of the fact that Allah told us that there's a river in paradise called Salsabil. And Salsabil literally translates to ask the path. So Allah said, hey, in paradise, don't forget, there's a river called ask the path, right? So now that you're in dunya, ask for the path. Make dua, ask Allah Ta'ala to guide you. This is why we should constantly be saying, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide me upon the straight path, Ya Rab. And of course, Allah is reminding us here that Islam isn't a favor that you do to God, rather, a'udhu billah, rather Allah Ta'ala clearly doesn't need your worship, and rather His guidance is His generosity, and is for our benefit, so that is a favor to us. Then Allah says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا And you do not will, except that Allah wills. Indeed, Allah is always, has always been and will always be, all-knowing and all-wise. So, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ is interesting because you would have thought that Allah would say, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ هَا Nobody wills to go on it, as in go on that path, the sabil. But Allah says, no, forget about just the path itself towards your Lord. Nobody has any will whatsoever. You can't will to lift a finger. You can't will to do anything. Yes, it includes moving along the path towards Allah, but everything else as well. You can't make a single movement. As we know, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Nothing moves without the permission of Allah. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ You have no will. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ Except Allah gives you a will to move and to lift your arms and legs and etc. and make movements and thoughts and so forth. Everything you do. If Allah wills to guide you, He guides you. But if not, Allah doesn't force any person astray. Rather, He leaves them to their own devices and allows them to wander aimlessly. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ Except for those who Allah wills. And there's a discussion about how if Allah said, إِلَّا بِمَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ Then Ibn Ashur, he comments how this would either have meant except how he wills or when he wills. But by saying, إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ it implies both. And so it's anyway a very interesting sort of technical discussion here. But the point here, when Allah says, take the path to your Lord, so you say to yourself, I have the power. Then Allah says, hey, take it easy, don't get arrogant. It's not that you can arrogantly say, I have the ability to take this path to Allah. No, you only will because I allow you to. So, no one can arrogantly say, I'll be guided to the truth if I feel like it. No, you can try, and if you're sincere, then Allah will allow you to, but if you're arrogant, then you'll get nowhere. Allah wants, yes, guidance for everybody. Allah clearly wants guidance for everybody. So Allah creates us with a fitrah and sends us guidance. Anyone who takes that guidance didn't do so on their own or in spite of Allah's will, rather they should realize that it's what Allah wanted for them all along, yet they had to make that choice for themselves. Allah doesn't force because He gave us free will. Now there's a very beautiful reminder that your will is operating under Allah's permission. So if you choose to turn away, if you choose to go on a different path, just remember who gave you the ability to do so. right? You know when you turn your back on somebody? So I think of a funny analogy. Imagine some rich kid is speaking to his father. Obviously, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah has the highest of examples. But just for simplicity's sake, imagine a rich kid talking to his dad. And he says, Dad, I don't want to see you anymore. I'm out of here. I don't want to listen to you anymore. I don't want to respect you anymore. What does he do? He gets into a super expensive car that dad paid for and drives away. So the question is, who even gave you the ability to drive away with that fancy? What, you paid for that car? You put the gas in? Of course not. You couldn't afford that if your life depended on it, right? So he's like, I don't need you. I never needed you. He gets in this car. And then he's just like, look at that sports car. This little brat rich kid is getting inside him. It's the exact same thing. Anybody, I don't need God. Subhanallah. What are you talking about? Who gave you the ability to turn away to begin with? And at the end of the day, your rebellion won't change Allah's plan anyway, as Allah says, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, that they plot and they plan, but Allah plans as well, and Allah is the best of planners. And on the other side, on the flip side, if you choose to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then don't self-righteously think that you chose enlightenment on your own. Rather, Allah ta'ala is your sustainer. And since this is the end of the surah, we get reminded from the beginning of the surah, which is what? That since Allah is your sustainer, He is the one who made you from nothing. Ayah number one, right? That's what ayah number one mentioned in this surah. That I made you from nothing. There was a time when nobody, you're not even a thing mentioned. And He made your faculties to receive guidance. Ayah number two, right? And number three, He gave you guidance and the free will to make a choice. That was ayah number three. So, in other words, you only had the will to become guided because Allah put all the pieces in place. So you have to have that humility. And if we know that we won't be guided on the right path unless Allah allows it, then we should sincerely, constantly ask Him for that guidance. Again, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. And then finally, we have what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. The end of this ayah is what? Indeed, Allah has always been and will always be all-knowing and all-wise. All-knowing of a person's sincere intentions, and all-wise, as in wise to know how and when to expose them to Islam in a way that they'll accept and practice and gradually grow without being overwhelmed or without being underwhelmed either. Another way of looking at it is all-knowing and all-wise implies that despite giving humans free will, Allah knows sometimes people will accomplish their goals, right? Like if you say, today I intend this and Allah gave me free will, well, sometimes you'll get exactly what you were setting out to do that day. And sometimes He disappoints them. Sometimes you have a plan for the day and it completely goes upside down. And why is that the case? Why are the outcomes entirely based on Him? Because at the end of the day, He is the one who is all-knowing and all-wise. So He is the one that's sometimes going to give you what you want and sometimes not. And you're saying, Ya Allah, you know, it's confusing. Some days it works, sometimes it doesn't. What's going on? In Allah, alim and hakima. Allah Ta'ala, He knows what He's doing. There's many ayat that are like this. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, mentioned in Surah 81, ayah number 29. And also in Surah 92, Surah Al-Layl, 5 to 10, Allah says what? فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. So Allah Ta'ala is mentioning, if you have these good qualities, then I'm going to make your path easy to what's good. And if you have these evil qualities, then I'm going to make your path easy to what is evil. Subhanallah. So all these ayats are sort of clarifying one another. Final ayah for today, inshallah, and the end of the surah, Allah finishes with what? يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ. That He enters, He admits who He wills into His mercy. وَالظَّالِمِينَ أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. But as for the zalimeen, as for the wrongdoers, He has prepared for them a painful punishment. Okay, so how do we take a look at this ayah? The sentence could either be independent or could be a khabar of the inna Allah from the previous ayah, which makes kana aliman hakima the hal. Anyway, that's a sort of too much detail. Point being is that Allah Ta'ala mentioned in ayah number 29, some people will take the path to Allah. And therefore, logically, you're thinking to yourself, well, some people therefore won't take the path to Allah. If Allah says, whoever wills, take the path, okay, well, that means other people will not choose to take the path. Okay, what about their outcomes? Now Allah Ta'ala, in this ayah, is telling us what the outcome is. So, based on whether you chose the path or not, يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ. He's going to enter into His mercy whoever He wills. That will be the outcome of taking the path to your Lord. And what if I didn't? Well, الظَّالِمِينَ أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. So it's an answer to ayah number 29, and Allah knows best. Another perspective is that the previous ayah mentioned these two names of Allah, Alim and Hakim. And now you have two fates. which is paradise and hellfire. So it's saying that Allah is knowledgeable of every believer's righteousness, coupled with the wisdom of how to guide and eventually reward him. So Allah is Alim and Hakim. He knows how to guide you. He knows your actions and he knows how to reward you. And on the flip side, he's knowledgeable of every disbeliever's wickedness and wicked deeds, coupled with the wisdom of how to give him the chances in this dunya so that he will keep on what? Incriminating himself and eventually be punished. So Alim and Hakima, both are applying to the reward and the punishment. And it's also interesting that Allah says, وَالظَّالِمِينَ أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. So when it comes to those going to paradise, it's يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاء, whoever he will, so open-ended. Whoever Allah wants is going to go to paradise. Allah could have said, and whoever he wills, he's going to put into the fire. But instead of saying men, Allah says, وَالظَّالِمِينَ, saying that paradise is very open-ended. It's for men, it's for whoever. But Jahannam is for who? Those who are doing ظلم, doing wrong, doing evil. What is ظلم? The definition of ظلم is often given as الظلم هو وضع الشيء في غير محله. To put something where it doesn't belong. This is ظلم. To put something where it doesn't belong. The believer doesn't want to do ظلم. He doesn't want to put anything where it doesn't belong. He wants to give everything its due right. He doesn't want to do injustice to anybody. And that is how you, inshallah, avoid being a ظالم and inshallah, avoid going to hell. A few small points to close with. It's interesting that Allah Ta'ala mentioned His mercy and His will in a very particular order. يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, He enters whoever He wills, فِي رَحْمَتِهِ, into His mercy. However, on the flip side, you take those two and you flip them up backwards, you have the ayah where Allah says, لِيُدْخِلَ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, in ayah number 25 of Surah Fath. Allah says that He will enter into His mercy who He wills. So it's just interesting, the wording. I don't know the reason why. I apologize. I wish I did more research as to ask what is the wisdom behind sometimes these little details. But anyhow, it's just interesting that there's so many instances in the Quran where you find these little details. Now, Allah Ta'ala mentions the believers entering into paradise and calls it His rahmah, His mercy. And this is a reminder of what? Again, connecting back to the beginning. You see this over and over again. Whenever you get to the end of a surah, there's so many things that jump back to the beginning. Allah Ta'ala mentioned you in your mother's rahm, in your mother's womb. When Allah said, what? إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ, that I created the human being as a sperm drop that was emitted and then grew in the belly. So this is being implied that you were in the rahim. And now Allah Ta'ala is saying, okay, you started out the beginning of the surah as inside of the womb, the rahim. And now I'm going to tell you that you're going to enter into the next life, inshallah, into what? Into my rahmah, into my mercy. He could have used many different words for paradise. He could have said, obviously, Jannah. He could have said, Al-Na'im, Al-Husna. There's many different words for paradise. But Allah Ta'ala chose the word, what? Rahmah. Connecting to the beginning, that you started before this life in the womb, and you're after this life, inshallah, into rahmah as well. Rahim, rahmah. So it's very, very powerful and very beautiful in terms of linguistic parallels. And of course, obviously, just the same way the mother loves the child and wants to protect and give everything, we know that Allah Ta'ala is beyond, so much more beyond, even the love of the mother, and paradise is, inshallah, even better and greater and more beautiful and beloved. Now, of course, there's two ways of translating this ayah. يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ, the person who's doing the yasha, the person who is willing, could be either the person himself or Allah. So it could be translated as, Allah enters into His mercy whoever wants. As in, whoever wants. If you have the will to enter it, Allah Ta'ala will enter you. It can also mean, Allah enters into His mercy whoever He wants, whoever Allah wants. So both are true, and as it said earlier, that both wills have to be there. Allah gave you free will, and so He's giving you the option. You have to actually take it. I always think of it like those spy movies where they come up to like this big secret door and they say, all right, we both have to have a key. We both have to, you know, turn the key at the same time. You know, both of us have to be there. And if we don't do it at the same time, then the door won't open. So it's kind of a similar thing. I know it's a little bit ridiculous, but just bear with me. The idea is both people have to turn the key. In other words, yes, you have to want it, but you have to make sure that Allah Ta'ala wants it for you as well. Final few points is the Prophet says, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَأْبَى قَالَ مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. All of my followers will enter paradise except those who refuse. They said, O Messenger of Allah, who would possibly refuse? And he said, whoever obeys me will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys me is the one who refuses. So may Allah Ta'ala protect us from being those who refuse by refusing the guidance and refusing to follow the Prophet. Yes, And the final point that I want to mention is that the Prophet ﷺ talked about paradise as Allah's mercy in this beautiful hadith that said, تَحَاجَتِ الْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارُ فَقَالَتِ النَّارُ أُورِثْتُ بِالْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ وَالْمُتَجَبِّرِينَ وَقَالَتِ الْجَنَّةُ مَا لِي لَا يَدْخُلُنِي إِلَّا ضُعَفَاءِ النَّاسِ وَسَقَطُهُمْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى لِلْجَنَّةِ أَنْتِ رَحْمَتِي أَرْحَمُ بِكِ مَنْ أَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِي وَقَالَ لِلنَّارِ إِنَّمَا أَنْتِ عَذَابٌ أُعَذِّبُ بِكِ مَنْ أَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِي So this hadith in Sahih Bukhari, paradise and hellfire got into an argument. And the hellfire said, I have been given the privilege of receiving the arrogant and the tyrants. I get the big shots. and paradise said, what's the matter with me? Why do I only get the weak and humble amongst the people? You know, I get the weakest people. And so on that, Allah Ta'ala said to paradise, you are my mercy. So again, emphasizing that paradise is the manifestation of Allah's mercy. So paradise said, so Allah says, you are my mercy, which I bestow on whoever I wish of my servants. Then Allah said to the hellfire, you are my punishment, by which I punish whoever I will. The hadith goes on, but I just want to highlight that point. So may Allah Ta'ala make us of those who can appreciate the surah, and inshallah Ta'ala, we might take 1 week off. You know, it takes time to do the preparation for a full surah, and so it's nice to put a little bit of a break, inshallah Ta'ala. However, we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us of those who can enter into paradise, especially with all the extremely beautiful descriptions of paradise in the surah. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those, Ahlul Qur'an wa khasateh. May Allah Ta'ala make us of those who are the people of the Qur'an and His special group, who constantly read the Qur'an, memorize the Qur'an, talk about the Qur'an, and of course, apply and convey the Qur'an as well. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.